And it really wasn't all that hard, I hope, to, you know, have that sense of when you come back here. Again, you're not going to be thinking, well, now let's see, what key are we in? Is this the tonic key or is this some other key? But you have that feeling that it sort of falls back into place. Somehow it seems back into stability and back where you expected it. That's because it's exactly like what you had there. Just to be technical, let me correct one thing and then I'll pick up your question. In case you are familiar with this, when a piece is in a minor key, as this one is, the modulation is often not to the dominant, but to some other key. I just want to mention that, and you know, just to be absolutely accurate here, because there might be some people, if you've studied a lot of music, it actually, in this case, modulates to the relative major. But as far as we're concerned, don't worry about that. It's the same idea of modulating to a different key. In the exposition, when we talk about modulating to the dominant, what Mozart or whoever the composer is doing is trying to set up the dominant so that it sounds like a tonic. So to your, unless you're, you know, really have a lot of experience and training in listening, you probably won't hear that difference, at least consciously. It's one of those kinds of things that you might sort of sense subliminally, but not consciously. And then when you hear the group two in the recapitulation, again, you probably won't specifically hear a difference, but you might sort of sense, well, that sounds a little bit different, but not really be able to put your finger on why it sounds different. And it sounds more, it should sound more settled, would be the main thing. So don't worry about if you're not really picking that up. That's not an easy thing to pick up. What you should be noticing, however, is that contrast when you go from all the instability in the development to the recapitulation. Now, we're going to listen to quite a few more. We have time for, I think, one more tonight. But we're going to hear a lot of pieces in sonata form because it's not, I say it's used a lot. It's also one of the most flexible forms. And what we'll do after we've sort of gotten the basics here and done a few fairly straightforward ones, we'll see how composers use it and the different kinds of things they can do with it. It's a very sophisticated form, as you might guess, and it allows the composer a lot of latitude to do a lot of different things. Let me mention one other thing, and that is, at the beginning of this evening, I said all of these forms really are derived from binary form. What's the relationship between binary form and sonata form? Well, believe it or not, there is a very close relationship. One of the things I mentioned is the exposition sometimes is repeated. Now, if you were to look at scores from the classical period, you would find almost all of them have repeat marks indicating repeat the exposition. It's become a performing convention that the performer or the conductor may or may not repeat the exposition at his or her own discretion. That's why I say you never know when you go to a concert. You never know whether that's going to happen or not. But if we take our binary form, as you have at the very top of the page, A, B, and then A, remember in the second half, one of the things we observed was that often in binary form, the B section was not something different, but just a variant on the A section. Do you remember that? Now, the other thing that happens in binary form, we have not stressed very much, and that is where you have, I think we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, or last week, where you have the tonality down below as indicated at the top of your page. You start off in the tonic, and by the time you get to the A, the end of the first half, you have often modulated to the dominant. And then at the beginning of the second half, you might go through some different keys. That's what the X means. Other things can happen, but nothing specified. And then you end up in the tonic. And notice in binary form that the B section, which can be a variant of A, is followed by a return to some sort of A. If you take a look at this in relation to sonata form, you'll discover that sonata form is simply a large expansion of binary form. The exposition in sonata form is the equivalent of the first half of binary form. The development section is the equivalent of the first part of the second half, the B part, which is where we have the X as far as tonality is concerned, and then the recapitulation would be the equivalent of that A in parenthesis, where you come back to something resembling what you had at first. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, you may say, well, you're really drawing a lot of conclusions here. Does this really work? I can tell you for a fact that this is no later abstraction that theorists have imposed on the 18th century, but that composers in the 18th century were very much aware of that. And I can give you one fact that I think pretty well demonstrates that. If you were to have walked up to Mozart on the street and said, Wolfgang, tell me about sonata form, assuming you could say it in German, he would have looked at you puzzled and said, what do you mean? You talk about a sonata? He would not have known that. The term sonata form was not used until the 19th century. Well, what word did they have, or what phrase did they have to describe sonata form? In the 18th century, they called it grand binary form. So they were aware of that connection. So once again, we go back to binary. Everything comes pretty much from that binary form. The first movement of this symphony that I just played, you the last movement. I think we have time, at least to hear most of the first movement. And I think you'll find it falls in a very similar way. Okay, group one. Notice how the phrases are pretty regular and clear in the exposition. They will not be in the development. Starting to modulate. Your cadence. Group two. To the end of the exposition. Repeats, right? You could sort of guess, if he did it in one movement, he'll probably do it in another, but a different conductor might do something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes into the development, listen how he takes that opening motive, da-da-da-da-da-da, and gets a dialogue going between different instruments with that motive. Tell where the recapitulation begins. Into the recapitulation, so that might be a good place to stop. Excuse me. It can be, or it can be extended, more extensive. They're not really the same.